What's up? It's your boy Vibes by Bray, and you're tuned in to and 5678 the podcast, where we discuss everything dance industry related beyond the steps.
5678. You're tuned into and 5678 the podcast with Vibes by Bray, only on YouTube. Broadcasted by Riverside.fm.
On today's episode, I have the one and only creative director, choreographer, digital creator, Nike J.
Yeah, a round of applause. Yeah, now just playing.
Right, for the GOAT.
Bro, I'm so happy to be on here. Thank you for inviting me, man. Thank you.
No problem, Nike. I appreciate you for even taking the time to sit down and talk with me today. So first and foremost, can you go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Nike Jameson. I am a choreographer, dancer, creative director, photographer, videographer, husband, newfound father, you know what I'm saying? So just, I'm here, you know what I'm saying? God led me here, so I'm here.
Okay, so what got you into dance?
So a lot of people don't know this. I have ADHD, right?
Okay.
Attention deficit hyper disorder. Everybody know what it is. So with that, I just always try to find like an outlet. You know what I mean? Trying to find some ways for my body can still keep moving, but in a safe space that I won't put myself in harm or I won't, you know. So dance was always like that thing. And just emotionally, it's always been like an outlet for me to create and just be myself. And just because I was never verbal a lot growing up. So it's, action was always, that was always a way for me to express my feelings or how I can tell my story, tell how I feel to people. So.
And did you, when you started dancing, did you know that you were good or how did that come about?
No, I was out here thugging it. I didn't think I was good. Like, because I don't really think people, like, from my own perspective, I didn't really think I was like good. I just knew like it made people feel a way. So I was just like, okay, cool. If you're getting something out of it, then I'm doing something. But I didn't never understood like what I was good at. I just like doing it and just so happened I was good. So.
Okay. And where are you originally from?
So I'm originally from, Freeport, Illinois. That's where I was born. And then I moved to Georgia at the age of 9, actually, when I was 9. So just a little, I'm a traveler.
Right. Is that when you started dancing once you got to Georgia or were you doing it in Illinois?
So I was doing it. I was introduced in Illinois because, you know, You Got Served and all that stuff came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, I was up hip to that. And then there used to be the show that Kale Mitchell had called Dance 360. So I used to watch that every day after school. And that was like, that sparked me to even like push it further because I was like, okay, there's other people doing this out there that's older than me. So I was like, there's something to look forward to with this.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so did you have the support from your family when you decided that you wanted to dance?
Early on, no, because I ain't gonna say no, but I just said they didn't really understand it because it was still early and I was still early on doing it. And plus in my family, that's not something that people seek. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And dance is not something that's sought after where I'm from, but let alone in my family. So it was like, it was a new discovery for me, but also for those around me because they didn't know how to support it. Not saying they didn't want to, they just didn't know what areas to support because it's not something that's people do on a daily basis where I'm from.
Same. I definitely agree. Well, not agree, but I have a similar experience growing up. All of my siblings play sports, we're mechanics, things like that. And then I popped up like, oh, I want to sing, I want to dance, I want to act. So I followed a musical theater path and it wasn't understood. And even now, my parents have a hard time understanding. It's like they want to support it because they see that it's bringing in money for one. And not only just that, it's also making me happy. So they see it, but they still don't understand. It's kind of like, oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah. So I definitely understand.
I don't even think it really got like I don't think my parents really even focused on it. Cause the crazy thing is like my dad, and I just found this out, my dad was actually like a dancer. Like he didn't take this to the levels that I took it to, but he was also a dancer like back in the day, like in the 80s and the 90s. So he was actually like doing like small one-off shows, going to little clubs, dancing behind people, you know what I'm saying? That, so it's just crazy how full circle it is for me to actually be like, dang, I really took that trait and then like made something out of it from my pops. Mm-hmm. And so just like, I guess it's kind of, it is hereditary, but it's also something that I grew into and molded myself around. So the support was there, but it was just like, how can we support this? Like, what do we support?
What are we supposed to do? Exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So how would you describe your dance style back then versus your dance style now? Or if there is a difference?
I would say I'm a lot cleaner and it's a lot more clear. Like clear, it's a lot more clarity to my style now. Because I think back then, I didn't really even really find out my style until like maybe 3-4 years ago, honestly. Mm. That's when I really found out what type of dancer Nike or choreographer creator Nike is. Because always growing up, you know, when we're dancers, we're always trying to match. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to be what we see. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's what we see. Like if you're taking a class. Back then, choreographers always looked like the choreographer. So in my mind, I'm thinking like, okay, I need to, the more people I take from, I look like every single person. I'm trying to mash that together and make it into one, you know what I'm saying, one thing. So I learned that for me personally, from my own experiences, from my own, you know, ability for what I can do, I was like, well, if I'm taking things from people, how can I manipulate it and still make it my own? Mm. Just take the foundations, you know what I'm saying? Take the textures, take the technique, but don't actually look like them. Just take the fundamentals and the foundation and everything and just apply it to myself. So it's like, I understood it more. I understood my body a lot more, understood my capabilities, what I can and what I can't do. And also like, how does it make me feel? Like, does it make sense for my body? Because a lot of us, we dance, but it don't make sense for our bodies.
Exactly.
Like, our bodies can't reciprocate it like somebody else's can. So mm-hmm. It's like, I had to understand how Nike's body, how can I manipulate it to make it work for me?
One thing that I just learned recently, well, not learned, but someone said this recently and it stuck with me. When you're learning choreo or learning like different styles from other people, if you try to look exactly like them, what story is that telling? Because now you're telling their story. Mm-hmm. So if you're not looking like yourself, nobody is going to be able to read who you are. So that's definitely good advice to, you know, if you're going to be taking stuff from other people or like learning styles from other people, make sure that you're doing it in a way that fits you.
Mm-hmm. And also just like along with that, just to piggyback off that, when it fits you, when you're taking like classes or you're on a job or anything, it's always okay to match others. But what I always go with is like, it's okay to match, but also find your identity. Don't lose your identity in trying to match somebody around you. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, it's very important to look like one, right? But there's people that want to know that you're on stage too. You don't want to be overlooked at the same time in the same token.
Exactly.
Yes, look like that person, but also keep your essence, keep your textures, keep your what makes you, what makes you a better person, of why you got what you got, why you book what you book. Keep that too, because we don't want to forget about who you are in the presence of you being around others too.
Yeah, absolutely. So you did mention that you kind of just recently discovered your style about 3 years ago. What was like that breaking point that made you say, okay, this is who Nike is as a creator?
I think when I started putting myself out there more, that's when it kind of like stuck. Once I got comfortable with actually who I was as a performer and as a creator and as a choreographer, it made me tap into that more. When I realized that the more, because I'm more of an emote type of dancer, creator. I emote a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
A lot of my choreography comes with some type of emotion to bring it out of you, to put it into you, whatever the case may be. So when I understood like, okay, that's where I stand out in, that's what's for me, that's why I kind of tapped into. I started unlocking like different ideas, different concepts, different moves, different ways to, you know, manipulate this, that, you know what I'm saying? So the breaking point was really just understanding like, Nike, you have to put yourself out there to understand like what, what makes sense for you, but also makes sense for others. Because I'm one of the people that create for others, not just for myself. You know, I create all the choreography I've created before was always to tell a story that relates to people that are afraid to tell the story. So the more I did that, the more I tapped into that, the more I understood, like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, this is how I can find my lane. Because there's not a lot of people doing that, especially where, you know, in our community where we are. So it's just like, how can I bridge the gap of creating a hit, like a bop, but also telling a story and making it intentional and making it make sense at the same time?
And how does that, like, impact you and impact others? Like, when you bring your vision to life, how does that make you feel, or what kind of impact do you want to have on others with your choreography?
For me, I want people to be able to be comfortable with being vulnerable.
Yeah.
I want people to be okay with feeling something, not feeling like they have to leave everything in, keep everything in, box everything into themselves. I want people to, like, know it's okay to cry, to laugh, to be happy, to be angry, whatever you're feeling. Because I think emotion is nothing but information anyway. And it's how however you perceive that, however you give that off, we should be able to be okay with you doing that. And you should be okay with wanting to do that to express yourself to people. So for me, what it does for me is it brings me a sense of, like, of joy to know that I'm creating that lane, or I'm in that lane of, like, giving people a reason to feel something. And also giving them a spark for their own purpose to be like, I want to create a sad piece based off of what I'm going through. I want to create a happy piece based off of what I'm going through, but them being okay to actually fully dive into it rather than just sugarcoat it. You know how we do, we sugarcoat something just to make it make sense to the world, make it make sense to our peers. But it's like, you really don't feel that though, because that's not really who you are. You're just trying to appease your surroundings. But how can you, what actually makes you you? And that's where I'm at with it. Like, how can I spark people's purpose for their emotions, pretty much?
And see, and that's the space that I'm in right now as well. Like, I've always loved creating, but right now it's become one of those things that when I teach, when I do create things, I want people to feel something. I don't want to just create just because. I want to be very intentional about the work that I put out. And I've always struggled with trying to describe my style of dance. Somebody recently told me that they think that what I create is more so like a lyrical hip hop. And I'm like, okay, I can see that, because it's what I feel. And that's the impact that I too want to make, especially when I'm teaching classes, because you don't have a lot of classes like that. Because I want to create a space where when you come in here, there's no judgment. I want you to be able to just be, feel free to be who you are, leave it all on the floor. So I want you to think about what the music is saying, what the music is making you feel as well. So that's literally the same space that I've just recently come into, because I've been trying to figure out, like, you know, what impact do I want to make on the community?
Right. Yep. Same. Yeah. I just want to be able to see people be themselves and receive everything. Like, not receive everything, but also, like, be okay with what they're receiving just because they put it out.
Mm-hmm. So with all of these different titles that you hold, when did you realize, I want to create? I don't want to just dance. I want to be a creator.
Probably, honestly, I think 2020. Like, I think because I used to be on tour with Amara LaNegra from Hip Hop. And so my last show was with her was March 1st of 2020. And then, you know, COVID happened, so that kind of did away with that. But right. I think after that show, I reflect out. It was a day when I went back and looked at all of my videos and stuff that I was when I was on tour, and I was just like, you know, I know I'm a good performer, like dancer. Like, I know I'm well at that. But it's like, I'm so much more than that, because when you go to a show, or if you're on tour, and if you're not really known like that as a dancer, people will overlook you just because you are the dancer. You know what I'm saying? Right. People look at the artist. 9 times out of 10, they're looking at the artist. Right? And that wasn't my drive to become a creator, but that was like a little speckle of like a thought that created a broader idea for me. And mm-hmm. I was just like, okay, how can I be the person, or where what space can I be in to be the person that puts on the shows for these people? That way, you know what I'm saying? Rather than me being on stage, how can I bring the stage to life? Like, I want to be the person that puts the vision together of the show, and it'd be like, mm-hmm. that was Nike. This entire show was Nike's idea. Whether I'm choreographing it, creative directing it, whatever the case may be, from the pyrotechnics to the audio to whatever, the blocking, whatever the case may be, I want that whole vision to come
to be yours,
to be mine. And I was just like,
yes,
I need to get to that space. Like, that's the space I want to be in. And just like, because that's just a space where, yes, it costs more. Yes, it's more tedious. Yes, it's more, you know, time consuming. It allows more brain power because it's different factors. You have to think about the artist. You have to think about the choreographer. You have to think about the audio engineers. You have to think about the lighting, you know, lighting tech. But at the same time, it's like, I'd rather take on those responsibilities than just be a dancer. Like,
yeah.
You know, than just Nike. I'd rather be the creative director of something. I know I'm like, I want to put the puzzle pieces together than be a piece of the puzzle.
If that right. makes sense. So. No, it does, definitely, for sure. So can you tell us some gigs that you've worked on either currently or in the past?
Yeah. So my very first tour was with Jacob Lattimore. This was like 2015. Jacob Lattimore, I was on Bring It a few times. Like I said, a tour with Amara La Negra. I was on countless number of music videos with artists. What else? Recently, what did I do recently? I've been working with a lot of CHH artists, which are Christian hip hop artists, like Mike TZ. I did Jonathan McReynolds as well. Yeah, I'm still one space I do want to tap. I still want to tap into like the movie space a lot.
Okay.
I want to get into that space for sure. I have yet to. I have had opportunities to, but always some type of obstacle. So it's never actually been in my favor in that area yet. But yeah, I definitely want to musical theater. I've done Hairspray before. I've done High School Musical yes. before. Once on This Island. I kind of dabbled into every space except for movies. That's the only space I'm like, yeah.
Okay. It's on the way. It's on the way. Sure. Just got to speak it into existence for sure. It's coming. Definitely. Okay. So before we move into our next segment, I do want to take the time to shout out Kataco Streetwear for Dancers. Each and every episode, you're going to see me wearing some custom pieces sponsored by Kataco. So today I'm rocking my 5, 6, 7, 8 shorts.
Let's go.
You know, they're super dope. Now, let me tell y'all how to get these shorts. You can visit kataco.shop. They have an extensive line of streetwear for dancers. Hoodies, t-shirts, shorts, sweatpants, sets. Check them out. Use my discount code, Braven, to get 10% off your order of $25 or more.
I need a pair of them. Them hard. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be on there tonight.
Oh, right. But all right. So now it's time for our segment. This is where the curtains close and the spotlights turn off. Let's get to the point. All righty. So today, Nike, I want to talk to you about how do you manage to maintain your faith and purpose all while pursuing a dance career?
So I'll say this for me. For me, it starts with my beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. It starts with my understanding of, like, nothing that I take away from dance, for me, is really even mine, right? Meaning, everything that I receive, every opportunity, every job, every gig, every thing, you know, even the past things, I was there for a long time. I mean, I was there for a short time, not really a long time, mm-hmm. right? So I had to understand that. With this opportunity that I was blessed with, because I'm a believer in Christ, everything that I was blessed with and that Jesus and God blessed me with is like, make a longing impression because somebody needed it in that moment. You know, I felt like my purpose is always to uplift and to give people some type of light to, like I told you, I'm an emotional performer, creator. How can I give an opportunity? I don't want no opportunity to be missed for me not to make a statement or me to not make an opportunity for somebody to recognize who they are or who God created them to be. Every opportunity for me is an opportunity to save a life. It's to help somebody out, for somebody to know that they're not alone. So my faith is really based off of me being talented enough, like naturally talented, to know that there's a reason behind that. It's like I never grew up training, none of that, but I can do a split, do a backflip, never trained in none of that. But I know that's because I had to get the ball rolling early. Like I had to, this is what, we ain't got no time. Somebody need their life saved. So that's where I look at it, as far as like where my faith comes from. And we both know dance is, the industry is not the best when it comes to like longevity. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like every opportunity that you get, you want to make sure that it's a longing impression. We know we want to make a long lasting impression, but we also know that we need to make it make sense and make it count every single time that we hit a stage in front of a camera. It has, because there's one shot. So it's one, you get one chance. So let's make it count.
Okay. How would you say that your personal faith journey has influenced your dance career?
So I even realized till recently, maybe like 2 years ago, that I switched over into like the space that I am now. Because I used to be the person that was dancing to like all the hip hop, secular music. You know, I was that guy that was, I was having classes like that. I was in music videos like that. Yeah, I was taking classes like that. But once I got closer to God, my space has shifted to like more like not necessarily gospel, but more like Christian rap artists, Christian, you know, rhythm and blues artists. And I found my lane in that. And it just kind of built like this, a different community for people that I even know was in that space. You know what I mean? So like when I got to that and I was just like, oh, there's more of y'all like this. So there's actually a lane for things like this. And it's just like me personally, the music is better. Yeah. Like from like, we all know hip hop and rap got the beats like that. We already know that bass 808, boom, boom, boom. We already know that's
hit at the time.
But they're like, it's the feeling and the emotion and the vocals, and you know, some of the songs got the drums on the Christian, you know, music side. So it's like, okay, so it's really not anything lacking on this side. It's not the same type of music. It don't have like the more like viral catchy music, but it's like, oh, we can still create, we can still do something, we can still move something over here. So I was like, okay, once I figured out like, is there still a space for that? I was like, oh yeah, I'm cool. I can deal with this.
Exactly. Right. So how do you balance your faith with the demands of the industry?
I don't balance it. There's no balance for me. I choose my faith over the industry every time. It's very imbalanced. Like the industry is always going to be there. But like, the thing is, for my faith, it's like I will never compromise my faith for any type of gig, any type of job. If it ain't in my path, in my tunnel vision, I'm probably going to turn it down. Y'all know, I don't know, some people don't know, baby. You know me. I'm quick to say no. Like,
right. Absolutely.
I'm cool. Like, I don't want to do it. So it's like, I will literally, like, I don't care. And it got to the point where it's like, I don't even care like what the job is no more. As far as, if it's not like, it don't even have to, let me be clear, it doesn't have to necessarily be all about Jesus, I will not do anything that's not about him either.
Right. That makes sense. And it has to be aligned with what you have going on. So yeah, exactly.
It has to be aligned. Like, they don't have to talk about, like, for me, I would do a show with people that's uplifting and not talking about materialistic things rather than the latter, than to do anything other. So there's really no balance for me. I would choose this over this every time.
Got you. So do you have any daily practices that help you stay grounded?
In, like with dance or with like my faith?
With your faith, like in dance. Like what helps you stay grounded? Yeah.
definitely listening to the music in the space that I am. Listening to the music, staying up with my word. Remember, staying up in my Bible for sure. That's number one. Let me say that. Just so I know, to always keep a fresh reminder of not, because it's easy for us to fall back into worldly things, or for me specifically, to fall back into worldly things and listen to worldly music because it's all around me. And it's all on social media. It's all on TikTok, Instagram. You know, it's easy to fall back into those things. So staying up on my word, staying, clearing my playlist out. Let me start there, too. Because I literally clear my playlist out. I only have music that's 10 to what I listen to, because I can control what I listen to on my own rather than what I see on social media. So, and I don't want it to spill over. I don't want, what I listen to social media spill over into my playlist that way, because now it's into my actual world, into my life. And so it's I have to do a heat check, do a reality check, be like, okay, what have I been listening to lately? What I have been watching? What have I been feeding myself that cannot take into the space of dance to where it feeds others? Because that's a fear of mine. I don't want what I do feeding. I don't want to feed people the wrong information. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be the person that give people a wrong impression of who I actually am, or also feeding them something that's not purpose for me to feed them. That's not my job. So I'll have to stay up on my own characteristics and stay up on my own music, on my own mental. Okay, what am I feeding myself that doesn't have me feeding something ill-mannered into the world?
Amen to that. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you faced in the dance industry, and how would you say that your faith has helped you overcome those challenges?
I think the biggest challenge I've faced is it's weird though, because, okay. So the biggest thing I face is, believe it or not, is actually getting jobs. Now, what I mean by that is, yes, I've done jobs, but honestly, I've only done jobs that I was called for. I've never actually auditioned for real for anything. Not to say that, to say I don't have to, because I've definitely auditioned for stuff, but the things I auditioned for, I never got. But the things that I didn't audition for, I was called to be there. So it's my faith is what's for me is for me, and what's not is not, pretty much. Because I was always pushed to, early on, I would go to auditions, I would go to these things, be like, yeah, I'm going there because, shoot, I love the dance, I'm pursuing this, why not? It makes sense. Wouldn't get it. Probably because I wasn't either, big enough, or I don't know. I never knew what the reason was, but at the same time, it really wasn't for me to know. Just know that, hey, that wasn't for you. And then maybe a week or two later, I get a call, be like, hey, you want to be part of this, so and so forth. So I think it's important to show up to places, whether you're going to get the job or not. Just show up, because you don't never know who's watching. You never know who's looking at you. You never know what opportunities come from you just being in the room and giving your all. You may not get that job, but you never know, somebody might have a job in there just because you were in the room. So just having faith to always be present, be in the room, and be prepared every single time.
Okay. I feel that. So you have a dance company, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that company and what it stands for?
Yeah, so me and one of my friends, very close friends, like my brother, his name is Aja Smith. Mm-hmm. We created a dance company in 2023. It's called Dominion. It's spelled Dominyen, not like the regular Dominion. We kind of spelled it like the actual pronunciation of it.
Okay.
So Dominion is, the definition of Dominion is to pretty much just steward over what you are given onto the earth, right? So our thing was to steward over dance on the earth, right? To just, it's not necessarily ours, not to rule it or anything, but just to watch over it, to cater it, to nurture it, to cultivate it, to feed it, you know, positivity. So we have, I think when we first started it, we have 11 members, which is more than what we thought.
Right.
It was free. Our thing was never to make a profit, never to, you know, do anything. We just want to grow a community of dancers who believe in faith and who just wanted to be dancers, mm-hmm. you know, just be in a community full of people that was like them, like-minded people. So, yeah, we started that, and we did a lot of visuals, a lot of training, a lot of things that, like, regular companies do. It's a company, you know, dance company, regular companies do. So we started that, and like I said, we started out with 11, 12 members. Everybody, we was doing Bible studies every Sunday. I mean, yeah, Sunday, because we was rehearsing on Sunday. Bible studies every Sunday, and then we're going straight into dancing. And people really loved it just because, you know, there's a lot of faith-based things. And I'm putting quotes because we have to quote what faith-based is, right? Mm-hmm. People put faith-based on things just to make it look like something, right? And so when we say we were faith-based, it means that we were truly faith before dance. Like, we were choosing faith before dance. We wasn't touching the floor until we finished Bible study.
Exactly.
Like, we wasn't dancing until we told each other how our week went. Like, we was really focusing on the person rather than, like, the persona that we do when we're dancing. It was very important that I knew who you are. That way, if I know who you are, I can tell how you dance. Like, mm-hmm. It was always a connection with it. So, yeah, we kicked that off, and man, it's just really been good.
That's so dope. I think that this is a perfect segue into my next set of questions for you, because it seems like you have a very dope community around you. So, how important is it to have a community of individuals with that same like mind, that same like-mindedness?
So when I think of community, I break it into two words. I break it into common unity, right? Mm-hmm. Common unity. That's the same. That's pretty much what the word community is. What do y'all have in common? And how can y'all unify each other to make those things in common and make it a bigger thing? So when you think of community, it's like we really can't go anywhere, especially in the dance space. It's so important. You can't go anywhere without a community. Like, you can't book a job without a community, because it takes a community to make a show. You know what I'm saying? Like, community is important. Now, it is a very important what is your community? That is mm-hmm. very important. But if you can discern and you can, like, really make it important to know what your community is about, it's easier to flourish, because you know that this community fits your like-minded. Once you get around like-minded people, ideas start to spark. You become a better person, a better creator, a better dancer, a better performer, because you're feeding into somebody and they're feeding into you. And it's like y'all are unifying the assignment that's given to y'all. So it's just, community is the best thing ever when it comes to dance. Like,
absolutely. So who or what would you say is or has been your biggest support system to help you stay grounded in your faith and your purpose?
Well, first of all, my wife, she has been great. She's the ultimate supporter, Isis. She has always been there for me, even when I didn't feel like dance was for me, or if I felt like creative blocks, or just feel like, you know, I don't want to dance no more. Like, I definitely had those thoughts. I don't want to be no dancer mm-hmm. no more. She always pushing me, like, yeah, but you're great at it. Not even that you're great at it, you're called to do it. Like, this is what people want to see. It's like, she always would tell me, I was being selfish if I wasn't putting out something. I'm holding my talent as to myself, and I'm being selfish with my gift. And it's like nobody's receiving what you're trying to offer, because they don't even know what's out there. Right. So yeah, definitely Isis, my wife, Dominion, the company, my mom. She has always been there for me, as far as, like, she may not understood the dance space, but she knew that I loved it, and that's all she cared about. That's the only thing that mattered to her. And then, shoot, friends like you, Braven, you've always been there for me, brother, and, like, just always, you know, been in those spaces. Every time I would perform, you'd be like, yeah, you killed that body, you know what I'm saying? So, so you've always been there, too, and it's a handful of people that's just, like, been like, okay, yeah, we need what you got, just because it's lacking, or we just need to see more of you. We like what you're doing. Put it out there. Do you. So,
I definitely want to put out that I've known you for quite some time. And even if I didn't know you, like, personally, because we just got close over the last, like, what, maybe like two, three years. But before that, you used to teach at DSA. That's how I knew who Nike was. And even from then, you've always been dope to me, but I've seen the growth. Like, I've seen the shift, and it's definitely your gift. So I definitely do agree with Isis. When you don't put out, don't be selfish. We need to see that. We need to feel that energy.
right.
For sure. So do you have any advice for anyone out here who is trying to, you know, find that balance. They want to pursue dance, but they are feeling compromised in their faith, not sure who they are, not sure what their purpose is. Do you have any advice for someone who may be listening today?
Yes. One, I would say, I said earlier, you can only find your identity in Christ, like your true identity, meaning like, yes, you may know who you are, but if you want to go into a space to where you have to do something for people, you have to find who you are through Christ. And that's your only way to find your true identity, because with that will come clarity. With that will come understanding of your gift, understanding of your purpose. And then, you know, you can kind of know what lanes to go in and what audience to tend to. So you just want to make sure that you're grounded in your faith with God, you know, stay grounded in that. But you also want to, I also want people to freestyle more. And what I mean by that is, like, if you're freestyling, it may not make sense at the beginning, right? It's not going to make sense because you don't know your body. Your body's still learning. If you're just starting out trying to figure out who you are as a dancer, I say freestyling is very important. It's kind of like a dead trend now. It's kind of coming back, but it's still like a dead trend. But it's like freestyling is very important because you can understand your movement. That's where your identity as a dancer can come from, too. You can understand who you are, how your body moves. If you're technical, be technical. Technical, right. Like, technically, like, don't try to do hip hop. You're not good at it. So do technical. Like, be technical. Like, if you're a hip hop dancer, stop being technical until you can learn those things, because that's not your foundation. Now I'm not saying don't grow those foundations, but understand your foundation. Understand what your strengths is, and then work on your weaknesses. If you're great at crumping, crump. That's right. What you do. Like, if you're on point, if you're classical, point. Give me some fouettes. Give me some arabesques. I want to see that while you freestyle. That's hard because a lot of people can't do that. You know what I'm saying? So create your identity based around what you're comfortable with doing. And then once you get comfortable with what you're doing, then slide into the unfamiliarity of things. Then kind of branch out a little bit. But get comfortable in your foundation first.
Yes, I think a lot of us run from freestyling. But one thing that I just started getting comfortable with was that's just your chance. There's no right or wrong way to do it. It's really no right or wrong way. That's your chance to literally show people, one, who you are, your skills, and just, like, be free. Freestyling is literally just being free. Tell a story. I recently started taking, like, some freestyle workshops, which is crazy because, honestly, before I started, like, actually taking classes, I didn't know that you could teach freestyle. And it's true. Mm-hmm. You can literally teach freestyle. And I'm a witness because I've been in classes. And just learning, like, little fundamentals, like a simple rock and how you can take that rock and turn that rock into something else. Like, it's just mind blowing. So I definitely encourage people to, if you have to, because I've never been the person to freestyle. If you play some music right now, I'll probably do it now. But before, not me at all. But now I've become so comfortable with who I am as not just a dancer, but as a person. So now that when I dance, I can let that read through my movement. So I definitely agree with that.
You
for gotta sure.
think, when freestyling is really just who you are. Like you said, there's no right or wrong. It's who you are. Like, that's just your style. And it's just like, if people don't receive it, okay. Like, it's not your style. Like, that's up to them. There's a community for everybody. So if you're a freestyle, like, you're literally just being free. If you can't dance, people who can't dance can technically freestyle because that's their style. Like,
exactly. That's what you do. So can you tell everybody where they can find you on all social media platforms?
Yes. So I am Nike J, NYKEJ on Instagram. Pretty much that's the only platform I'll be on. If you're on YouTube, it's Nike Jamison, NYKEJAMISON. We also have, my wife and I also have a podcast. It's called Two Steps Podcast, just Two Steps Podcast. If you want to follow Dominion, our company, it is Dominion, D-E-M-I-Y. Hold on. What's the spelling? D-E-M-I-N-Y-E-N. Okay. On Instagram as well. So, yeah, that's my socials, man.
All right. Well, Nike, thanks for tapping in with me today. That concludes this episode of N5678. It's your boy, Vibes by Bray. make sure you follow me on all social media platforms at Vibes by Bray and stay updated on all of our latest episodes at N5678 Podcast. This is your daily reminder to always remember to dance like nobody's watching and love like it's never going to hurt. And as always, I want to shout out Kata Code Streetwear for Dancers, Felicity Digital Lab, and Rager Worldwide LLC. Until next time.